notes, they're in your worship program. Go ahead and find a pen or pencil in the seat back in front of you. There's several things that I'm going to tell you today. The bulk of the message has to do with, you know, what God has taught us. What has God taught us as a church family over the last 30 years? I've got three things that stand out in my mind that God has taught us. I want to first tell you a little bit about, give you some understanding of how we got to where we are, the history of our church. You know, I also want to welcome all those who are worshiping with us online on the launch of our brand new online campus. Welcome to Christ Church. We are so happy that you're joining us today. You know, our actual birthday is this Wednesday. This Wednesday, October the 18th, and it was back in 1987 that the very first service of what would eventually become Christ Church began to meet. You know, I use the phrase what eventually would become Christ Church because at that point, our church didn't even have a name. We had no name at that point, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a few moments. Now, what you may not know, because I've been around here as the pastor for a quarter of a century, boy, that makes me feel kind of old when I say it that way, but 25 years, you know, I'm not the founding pastor of Christ Church. I've been around a long time, but the distinction of the founding pastor of Christ Church goes to a man named Pastor Charles Hubbard, and his wife, Carolyn. You know, they are both retired. They are living in Jacksonville, Florida. And I called them a couple of weeks ago and asked them if they would mind sending us some greetings via video to tell us a little bit about their story, to wish us a happy anniversary. And here's their story right here. This is Charles and Carolyn Hubbard.
Happy 30th anniversary, Christ Church.
The United Methodist Church has a procedure for starting new churches. And we had the great opportunity to start a new church in the Methodist tradition. This is our story. At the annual conference in June 1987, I was appointed to the South Run New Church Development Project, which would later become Christ United Methodist Church. It was for us a dream come true to be called as God's servant to such a ministry. Over the years, people have asked me questions like, how did you go about starting a new church, especially growing Christ-centered, dynamic congregation like Christ Church? And our response has been the same. Straightforward answer. We didn't. God did. We just followed his directions. No toots, no whistles. Just follow me. And I will make you fishers of men.
We sent out a little over 2,000 invitations to come to the parsonage, to our backyard, and have an ice cream party. And well, during the training and preparation, some of the members posed this question: what if they all come? What would we do? And our answer was, when God touches 2,000 hearts to come to hear about his new church, he will surely provide the ice cream and parking spaces. We prayed daily for faith that would not wane, and we were confident that God would provide all that was needed if we followed his leading.
There's much more to be said about our early worship in the old Lorton Elementary School building, or about negotiations with the county concerning size, the shape, and location of our first building, and all those issues that involved. But there was no doubt that God had called this congregation to be his servants.
Amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
There we go. the founding pastor and his wife, Charles and Carolyn Hubbard. You know, as Charles said, the church began meeting in 1987, October the 18th, and we were meeting in the Lorton Elementary School, the old Lorton Elementary School. It's located right at 95 and Lorton Road, right at the exit there. In fact, the Lorton School was being replaced at that time by a new school that was under construction. But it hadn't opened yet, and that was Silverbrook Elementary. So we had our very first start right there at the Lorton School. Now, I told you that the church, when it began meeting, didn't even have a name. The denomination was calling us the South Run New Church Development Project. That was our name. The South Run, it's not very catchy, is it? The South Run New Church Development Project. But the church decided, well, you know, since we're beginning to meet, we really need to know who we're going to be, what our name is going to be. So they decided to start tossing out some names to see what the new church would be called. Well, after they got it narrowed down, they narrowed it down to two names. The first one was going to be South Run United Methodist Church, and the other one was going to be Christ Church, and they were going to vote between those two names. So the day came when it was time to vote. They used paper ballots, so nobody was raising their hand or having to speak out loud, and so they kept this as a secret ballot, and the congregation wrote down their choice of the name and folded the ballot, and the tellers came and picked up their ballot, and when the tellers counted all the ballots, guess what? It was a tie. It was a tie vote. And so the pastor was about to step back up before the church to say, you know, we're going to have to vote again because we've got a tie vote, when this little girl came up, her name was Jennifer Haworth, and said to the pastor, well, nobody took my ballot. And so he took it and he opened it, and Christ won. And the pastor stood up before the church and said, as the Bible says, and a little child shall lead them, and we shall be known as Christ Church. And that's how we got our name. Now, it was in the fall of 1988 that finally Silverbrook School opened up. And on the very first day that it was opened, that was a Sunday, guess who was there? It was the people of Christ Church. We opened, Christ Church was in Silverbrook School from the very day that the students began attending. The people of Christ Church were there. And at that point, our denomination was gracious enough to purchase 5 acres of land right next to the Cross Point Community Center and the pool and the tennis courts on Glen Eagles Lane there in Cross Point. 5 acres of land was given. But unfortunately, after 5 years, the year is now 1992, the church just didn't grow. It just couldn't seem to get off the ground. By 1992, the church couldn't pay the pastor, couldn't afford the rent at Silverbrook Elementary, and we had an average worship attendance, and some say this is a generous number, but I still stick with it. It's about 50 people. About 50 people after 5 years of meeting as a church. And so there was talk among our district superintendent and others in our denomination that this church was going to have to close. Christ Church just wasn't going to make it, and the church was going to need to close. But our district superintendent decided to give the church one final shot. One final shot. And so in 1992, and in July of 1992, they appointed a young, naive, wet-behind-the-ears pastor to Christ Church, and told that young guy, you know, that you were either going to grow the church or close it. Do one or the other, grow it or close it. And this was this picture was taken on our very first Sunday at Christ Church, and that's our 27-year-old daughter in Rosemary's arms right there. And that's how I got to be your pastor. But in 1993, we began thinking as a church leadership, who were we as Christ Church? What were we going to be about? What was going to make us different from any other standard cookie-cutter church on the corner? What was God's dream for us? So the first thing that I did was I met individually with each one of our leaders, each one of the leaders, and asked them, posed the question, why do you go to Christ Church? Now, here's the interesting thing about that, is that the overwhelming response of why they came to Christ Church was, well, it's close. Well, you know, that's a lousy reason to choose a church. You know, it is truly a lousy reason to choose a church just because it happens to be close. Well, when we got to thinking about it, I began to ask a different question, saying, well, why would anybody want to come to Christ Church? I mean, you're looking at the only staff person. You know, we were meeting in the cafeteria and then the gymnasium at Silverbrook Elementary School at the time. And, you know, there just didn't seem to be a whole lot of reason at the time for anybody to choose Christ Church other than it was close. You know, just up the street, 6 miles away in Springfield, was the largest church of our denomination at the time. It had anything and everything, all the programs, all the staff, anything that could be anybody could ask for or need in the community. 4.5 miles to the west was Burke United Methodist Church, brand new church, brand new facility, lots going on there, great staff. And 3 miles just on the other side of the parkway was Seidenstricker Church. They had just built a new facility. They had a great church, booming church. You know, but why come to Christ Church when you're going to meet in a gymnasium that kind of smell of gym socks? I mean, why come there to church? You know, why would anybody choose that if we were going to be the standard cookie-cutter church on the corner? Well, we decided what we needed to do is really begin to dream God's dream. What did God want from us as a church? What kind of dream does God have? So we began to read through scriptures. We began to study. We read Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Church book. We began looking at how God was calling the early church to be and what God's dream might be for us. So in 1993, after some extensive study, our leaders adopted and dreamed big, dreamed God's dream. I want to read to you that dream today from 1993. It's a dream, God's vision that's still guiding us today. It was adopted in April of 1993. And it says this. Now, before I read it, do you remember approximately how many people were at Christ Church? About 50 people, right? Now listen to this statement. We believe that Christ Church is God's church, and we desire to follow where God leads, believing that God calls his people to live by faith, to have the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things unseen. We believe that God's vision for Christ Church is this. It is a vision of a place where thousands of people are welcomed into a relationship with Jesus. It's the vision of a place where people find Christian counseling and healing and encouragement when facing the problems of daily living. A church where people are equipped to grow spiritually through small groups and Bible studies, where people are equipped to use their spiritual gifts in ministry. A church where people are sent on mission both locally and globally, and a church that supports a mission or a missionary on every continent on the globe. A church that gives birth to another church somewhere in Northern Virginia, a church with enough land to be a regional church, a church with attractive, efficient facilities for worship, for Christian education, a Christian school, a youth center, a counseling center, and elder care. Although this vision is beyond our ability and resources, it is well within the ability of the one who has revealed it to us. Can you imagine the audacity of a little church who couldn't pay the pastor to dream God's dream in a way that says we're going to be a church that is going to be relevant, that makes a difference in the community, that welcomes thousands of people into a relationship with Jesus, a church with a Christian school and a counseling center and all of these ways that we're reaching into the lives of hurting people to bring hope and healing in the name of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine a church that couldn't pay the rent at the school, talking about a church with enough land on which to accomplish all of this? Can you imagine the audacity of a church that is willing to dream God's dream, recognizing that it has to be God's dream because it was bigger than any of us and bigger than we could ever even begin to dream individually? But this is what God is about. Our job is to hold on and enjoy the ride. Our job is to trust Him as He leads. Our job is to follow where God is calling, to dream God's dream and recognize that it's not all on us. If God reveals the dream, He's got to figure out a way to make His faithful people follow and accomplish what He's doing. You know, as I thought about that, you know, God has done incredible things. You know, we've looked back at our worship service and said, well, you know, what is it about Christ Church that needs to be different that other churches aren't doing? And what we ended up doing is we completely reorganized the way that we do worship. We are the first United Methodist Church in the entire state of Virginia to have a contemporary style worship service. Matter of fact, people were calling us in Cross Point the Rock and Roll Church of Fairfax Station. That's real literally. That's what people were calling us about. You know that new church over there, that Rock and Roll Church of Fairfax Station? You know, and yet, here's why we were doing this. We were realizing there were so many people that had felt turned away from the traditional church, that God hadn't had a single thing to say to them for years. Because the last time that they went to church, they felt like they didn't have to simply turn back the clock. They had to turn back the calendar. Because it was all from so many years ago that it never seemed to be relevant. That what was being discussed wasn't relevant. That the way worship was done was so ancient and never seemed to be relevant to our culture today and the way people think and the way people process. We recognized that we didn't want to be a church that was simply transferring people from one church to another. We wanted to be a church that was making disciples. A church that was reaching people for Jesus. We wanted to be a church that is a thinking church. A church that takes our faith seriously and dives into the Scripture and figures out how all of this is relevant to our lives today. That God has something to say to us that's transformative right here and right now. That's what we wanted to be about. And it all came about from dreaming this dream that God has a plan and a vision for who we are to become. And we're still living into that dream even today. You know, it was now 1994, and the church actually had begun to grow. Once we began to define who we were and what we were about and how God was going to, we believed that God was going to grow us and mold us and make us, the church actually began to grow. We began to build on that little 5-acre piece of property over there in Cross Point. And by 1995, Memorial Day weekend, 1995, we moved in to our very first building over at 8285 Glen Eagles Lane in Fairfax Station by the Cross Point Community Center next to the tennis courts. And, you know, for us, this was a dream come true. We just couldn't even believe that we were there. And yet God had opened the door to make that possible. In fact, by 1996, we'd outgrown that space and we had to bring in some trailers for additional classrooms. By 1998 and 1999, we'd outgrown the worship space. We had to knock out the wall. It was standing room only. We had to knock out the wall and expand the building. And then in the early 2000s, we were still out of room and we had to bring in more trailers. As the maximum amount the county would allow on that land. We were the church in the trailer park. Right there in Cross Point. And we recognized by 2003 that there was never a way that we could ever live fully into God's dream for us if we stayed on that little 5-acre piece of property tucked away behind the Cross Point Community Center without even any direct access to Silverbrook Road. And so we began to look at some other property. The very first property that we looked at was this piece of property right here. And they wouldn't sell it to us. We were turned away. They said we had no plans to sell and we needed to go elsewhere. So we began looking elsewhere. We hunted all up and down 123, trying to find places for us to live into God's dream. We got to a place where we recognized, well, maybe we just misheard God. Maybe somehow we didn't hear what God really wanted for us, and that we were going to have to stay there on that little piece of property there on Glen Eagles Lane. We had about resigned ourselves to staying when we got a call from the family who owned this property and said, we're ready to sell and we want Christ Church on this property. God had opened the door for a 24-acre piece of property. Listen to this. The largest undeveloped piece of property on Route 123 from Braddock Road at George Mason University all the way to the Occoquan River. And the Lord has allowed us to be here. You know, what we've looked for in this entire thing is God's will. We wanted to follow God wherever He was leading. We wanted God's will, nothing more than that, nothing less than that, and nothing else other than being in the center of God's will. And from 2003, we had planned to build this building, and wouldn't you know, at the very time that we were about to break ground, 6 weeks before we were about to break ground, the bottom fell out of the economy, and we got a call from the bank saying they could no longer honor our loan. We were thrown into a tailspin all over again. What were we going to do? How were we ever going to do it? And it even got to a place where we wondered if we were going to need to sell the land because it didn't look like there was ever going to be a way for us to get here. And yet what God continues to look for is faithful people to stay the course. It's easy to be faithful to God in the good times, isn't it? I mean, when everything is going great and the world seems to be flying high, boy, it's easy to be faithful to God. But the question is, are you going to be faithful to His call in the lean times, in the mean times, in the bad times, in the rough times? I think that's what God wants to know. I think He wanted to know it from us too. And yet we stayed the course. And finally, in 2013, we were able to break ground on this building. And then just 2 years ago, in August of 15, we were able to move in to our fourth location as a church. And this is it right here at 7600 Ox Road. And in our quest to love God and then to love what? To love others and then to live out the gospel life. You know, that's our mission, right? To love God, to love others, to live out the gospel life. Let's say it. To love God, to love others, and to live out the gospel life. In our quest to do that, we have found that making these bold and courageous steps of faith allow us to live into the mission and ministry and vision that God's called us. Now, having said all of that, in the next couple of minutes, I want to tell you three things that I think God's taught us as a congregation, as a church family, over the last 30 years. Not just in the last 25 years since I've been pastor, but in the last 30 years, what has God taught us? You know, first thing, I will set it up biblically. Look here at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2. It says this: remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him. Let's say it together. Remember today what you've learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him. Now take your pen or pencil and circle that word remember. God is calling us to do something. He's calling us to remember what we have learned about the Lord through our personal experiences with Him. And certainly, we at Christ Church have had lots of personal experience with the Lord over these last 30 years. Look at the next one again in Deuteronomy, from chapter 4, verse 9. It says this: be very careful never to forget what you've seen God doing for you. May His miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your lives. Certainly has in my life. And then I love this last line. What does He say? Tell your children and your grandchildren about it. Yeah, tell your kids about it and your grandkids. Now I want you to take your pen or pencil and circle those three words: never to forget. You see, God has called us in the first scripture to remember, then He's called us never to forget. Here's the problem. We all have wonderful forgetters. You know, that's the deal about us human beings. And since I'm a human being, I can talk about us. You know, we have wonderful forgetters. We have lousy rememberers, particularly when it comes to remembering the good things God's done. Why is it we have such good rememberers when it comes to the bad things that's happened in our life, but lousy rememberers when it comes to the good things God has done? But God's saying, look, there are things I have taught you over the last 30 years that I want you never, ever, ever to forget. Here's the first one. I want you to write it in, and that is this: God is in control. This is what He's taught us. Number one thing over and over again: God is in control. Let's say it. God is in control. That's right. God's in control. You know, He's shown us that, you know, what He wants us to do, our job description, is simply to follow where He leads, to be faithful, to trust Him, to follow Him. In fact, we see this in Psalm 77. Check this out. It says this: you're the God of miracles and wonders, and He sure is. You still demonstrate your awesome power. And you know what? We've seen that right here at Christ Church. God making a way where there seemed to be no way, opening doors we thought were going to be nailed shut permanently. God has shown us that as we trust Him, that as we're faithful, that as we're willing to step out in bold and courageous faith, that He will never fail us. And He's never failed us yet. And we are living examples of this amazing grace that God has poured out upon us. You know, for those few of you, and there are at least two people in this room right now that I see right here in front of me who were here when we moved into that new building there on Glen Eagles Lane, our very first building. And I remember that up to that point in my life, the Sunday that we moved into that building, again, up to that point in my life was the scariest moment in my life, the day we moved in to that building. And you know why? I walked into that building. I got up early that morning. I was the first one there. Walked in, and I thought, oh God, what have we done? How are we going to pay for this thing? You know, and then I started thinking, oh my, the light bill, you know, what about Virginia Power? You know, what are we going to do there? How are we ever going to afford to be in this place? And that wasn't the only thing that I was afraid of. There was one thing that I was afraid at least as much as how we were going to pay for it. Because, see, we'd been in an elementary school from 1987 to 1995, 12 years in an elementary school, and we finally had our new building, and I was scared to death that we were going to come into that new building and sit down in those cushy seats and say, whew, we made it. We've arrived. And I'll tell you, do you know why that's probably the scariest thing? Is because the moment any church decides that they have now arrived, that is the beginning of the decline. And I'll tell you why. Because God has never called us to be comfortable. God's called us to be his disciples. And, you know, and being a follower of Jesus Christ is never an easy thing. Living into the gospel life is never a comfortable thing. And the moment we think that, whew, we've arrived, we've made it, now we can sit and soak like we were slipping into a hot tub or something, you know, it's not the thing that God's called us to do. He's called us to step out in faith. To be the church of Jesus Christ, to make a difference in the world. He's called us to do something about our faith, to actually live it out. And I'm grateful that I misjudged this congregation back then, that we didn't come in and sit down on those cushy seats and say, we've arrived. We began to recognize right then that our ministry had just begun. That our call into to being the church of Jesus Christ was to live into this vision that God had given us. You know what the second most scariest day of my life was? The day we moved in here. And I walked in and said, oh God, what have we done? How are we going to pay for this thing? And what about Virginia Power? And how are we going to do all of that? You know, sometimes I'm a slow learner, you see. God taught me a lesson back in 1995 that I had to relearn in 2015. That God doesn't expect me to have all the answers. He doesn't expect all of us to know exactly how everything is going to shake out. He just says, follow me. Follow me. Be faithful. Be faithful in the good times, but be faithful in the lean times. Be faithful in the good and the bad. Be faithful and trust me is what God is saying. God says, trust him. And as we do that, we recognize more than anything else, I think, that God is in control. Here's the next thing I think God has taught us. We can never outgive God. I think God has taught us that over and over and over and over again. We can never outgive God. Let's say it together. We can never outgive God. That was kind of lousy. Let's say it with a little enthusiasm, can we? We can never outgive God. Yeah, that's right. Say it like you believe it. You know, because it is absolutely true. It is a spiritual principle that I lead, that I model, that I do my best to teach my children, that Rosemary and I live that out. Because we know it's true. We know that this is a tried and true spiritual principle. Last week, I'm going to tell you real quick, I received a phone call from one of the members of our church. She was going through a very difficult time. Her husband had divorced her and had left her with, listen to this, in Northern Virginia, $600 a month to live. $600 a month to live. Now, if any of you have ever tried living off of $600 in Northern Virginia, you know what a task that is. Well, she called me last week, and she said, I know I'm going to cry when I tell you this, but I want you to hear it. And then she explained that how her husband had divorced her and that she had $600 to live on a month. And she said, you know, she said, for years you have been teaching us that you can never outgive God. And she said, and for the very first time in my life, I can really truly say that I believe that with every fiber of my being. She said, ever since then, I began tithing on that amount of money. And as she was crying through her tears, she said, and I've never regretted giving one penny to the Lord for his ministry through this church. And every single need that I have ever had, God has met. And you know what? Folks, she's not the only person that I hear stories like that from in this church. In fact, I know that there are hundreds of you who can give testimony to the fact that you can never outgive God. For God may not bless us in financial ways, but these blessings may come in many, many, many varieties of ways, and yet they are always there. We can never, ever outgive God. Look at the scripture right here. I love this scripture from Luke 6:38. He says, give and it will be. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. They're not just Luke's words. These are Jesus' words. He says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know, I share this with you all the time because I've never seen God fail us yet. From times where I wondered if we were going to have to sell this land to wondering if we would ever be able to move into our very first building or whether we were going to get into this building or whatever God was going to do and how God was showing us we needed to live into the vision. We were wondering, how is this going to happen? And there have been times when it was utterly tight. But you know, God has never yet failed us. And I believe he hasn't failed us because we do our very best to always remain faithful to him. And that we recognize as a church family, overall, overwhelmingly, that we can never outgive him because he will always, always, always bless you more than anything you could ever give to him. Here's the last thing, and then I got to get off this stage because I want to hear the team of youth choir again. So let's get on. You know, we grow by making bold and courageous commitments. Bold and courageous, by making and keeping, I should say, bold and courageous commitments. You know, and over our history, we've done just that. Many of you don't even know that we were instrumental. After the Iron Curtain fell and the Soviet Union fell apart and Russia became its own nation, Christ Church was among the first churches in Russia to help build and establish two new churches in the former Soviet Union. And we stayed with that project for 10 years to get them off the ground, to actually construct, build, provide the money in order for them to be able to build these churches. You know, bold and courageous initiatives all across the world and right here in our own backyard, to the launch of our campus, to our school in Kenya, and all the other things that we're doing. It keeps us fresh. It keeps the ministry growing. It keeps us moving forward. And it keeps us from sitting back on our laurels and somehow, with delusional thinking we have somehow arrived, when our ministry has just yet begun. I'm going to leave you with this last scripture right here. I love it. From 2 Chronicles 16:9. Check it out. It says this. The Lord searches all the earth for people who have given themselves completely to him. And look what he wants to do. He wants to what? Make them strong. And you know, listen to me. Watch me carefully because I want you to see, look in my eyes when I tell you. This is what God wants to do in your life. He wants to make you strong. When you give yourself to Him, when you open your heart and your life to Jesus, He will make you strong. He will change your heart. He will change your life. He will give your whole life a new trajectory. And when people who have this new life trajectory come together in the name of Christ, there is nothing that we can't do together for the honor and glory of God the Father, because Jesus Christ is Lord. And so I leave you with this last statement. As wonderful as the past 30 years have been, and let me tell you, after being here 25 of those 30, I can tell you it's been quite a ride. But the best is yet to come. Praise God, the best is yet to come. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for all the good gifts you give. You are an amazing God who never fails us and hasn't failed us yet. We ask, God, that you would carry us into our future. Whatever it may hold, we look forward to where you're leading. Just help us to be faithful, to walk in faith, and we will follow where it is you lead. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the past 30 years, and we're looking forward to whatever you got for us that lies ahead, for we are yours. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray, amen and amen. We're going to invite our ushers to come forward. Don't forget, you know, the Difference Maker card is there in your program, Furrence Maker, until you open it up, right? Difference Maker, Furrence Maker, right here. And look, I forgot. Well, I found a mistake on the card, actually. There is no place for you to put your name. Would you mind just writing your name somewhere on the card when you turn it in? You know, as we fulfill God's dream as we step out in bold and courageous faith initiatives, you can put it in the plate as well. Text CCVA to 77977. God bless you, everybody. And now we hear again. Are we going to do humble yourself? Yeah, oh, great. Listen, these are the words, so you know. They're going to be singing, "Humble yourself before the Lord." Are you going to be coming down like this? All right. So they're going to humble yourself before the Lord, and He will. What do you think it is? He will lift you up. That's what you're about to hear. God bless you, team of youth choir. standing. Africa. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Happy 30th anniversary. We're going to dismiss, and I'm going to ask that you do that song again. That was just so good. And people can leave or go or stay or whatever they want to do, but we're going to hear it again. God bless you, everybody. I love you dearly. Happy anniversary, and thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. I'm